Hey mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well-Nourished Mama podcast. I am so excited for today's interview because we are talking about something that I have actually dealt with my entire life and just recently found a solution for. We are going to be learning all about eczema and how to naturally and holistically heal eczema from the inside out. Now, I will say, technically, I don't have eczema. I have psoriasis, which is the autoimmune version of eczema, but they are very, very closely related. They have very, very, very similar root causes, and they have very, very similar approaches when it comes to how you heal and how you manage your symptoms and your flare-ups. So I know you're going to love today's episode because not only is it something I'm passionate about, but I know it's something that a lot of moms actually struggle with because eczema manifests pretty early on in childhood. It's most common in kids, and some babies can even be born with eczema. I didn't actually know that, but our guest Andra taught me that in our episode today. So it's really interesting to get to hear it through the perspective of kids because I only have ever dealt with it as like a teenager and an adult. So a lot of the things you're going to hear today are geared towards kids, but it can totally be applied to any situation, even if you're my age or older. And I know it's going to be super helpful for you. So I hope you find a lot of value in today's episode. And as always, if you know someone that can benefit from the message that we share, please send it to them so that they can be uplifted and educated just like you were. Something else I also want to put a plug in for that I don't talk about a lot is subscribing to the podcast. So basically what happens in the podcasting world is you have the ratings and reviews, and then you also have rankings. And the higher your podcast is ranked, the more it will push your podcast to new listeners without you having to like do any specific marketing efforts. It's kind of like if you were the number one search result on Google for a certain query, you know, you're going to get more traffic because you are the very first result that people are going to see when they search for that certain question. So in order to get a really good ranking on podcast platforms, there's a couple different things that go into that formula, but one of the most important things is downloads. Downloads is when not only you listen to the episode, but you actually tell your phone to like put it on your phone and not just like listen through the app, I guess. So when you subscribe or follow the podcast, you can go into your settings and say automatically download new episodes. And that is not only going to be helpful for you because that means all of my episodes will automatically be added to your queue every Tuesday, but it also is super, super helpful for me because it is telling the podcast platforms that you find so much value from my podcast that you want it automatically downloaded to your phone without even having to press a button. And the more people that do that, the more the podcast platform will say, oh my gosh, I need to push this out to more people. And this is going to be a higher ranked podcast because so many people love it. So if you have not already subscribed or followed the Well-Nourished Mama podcast, please pause the episode. Yes, pause the episode right now. Go ahead and do that. I think it's subscribe on Apple and follow on Spotify or vice versa. You can usually like go into the main area, like where you can see all of my episodes and click the subscribe button, or you can go and find the three dots or like the little hamburger menu and find the button that says subscribe or follow, one of those. I wish it was the same on every platform. I really do. It would make it so much easier. But if you have not already done so, please, please, please do that. Again, like I said, this helps the podcast grow. It helps me get better rankings on my podcast. But it also helps me generate revenue from the podcast by getting amazing sponsors, by having paid ads, and by having some really, really incredible guests on here. So if you want me to continue to provide this content for free and have really amazing episodes to listen to every week, please just do me that huge favor and hit the subscribe button and then leave a rating and review if you have not already done so. That would help me out so much. So all of that put together, let's jump into today's episode all about healing eczema holistically. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this. You're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day, and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving, and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6 week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list. Andrew McHugh, the matcha-sipping, veggie-loving mom who turned her family's eczema nightmare into a mission for healthier, happier childhoods. Host of a popular podcast and mom to four vibrant kids, Andrew knows the agony of sleepless nights spent soothing itchy, bleeding skin. Frustrated by conventional medicine and overwhelmed by conflicting dietary advice, she took matters into her own hands. Through meticulous research and real-world experimentation, Andrew cracked the code on eczema. She not only healed her own children, but also transformed their lives, freeing them from the shackles of painful, peeling skin. Now, she's sharing her groundbreaking approach with the world. Andrew specializes in natural, actionable solutions that empower parents to reclaim their children's health. Her expertise covers diet and nutrition, simple at-home remedies, and time-saving hacks that make wellness achievable for even the busiest families. Today, I'm excited to have you here.
I'm excited to be here, Brooke. Thank you.
We are talking about something that I selfishly am really excited about because it's actually something that I have struggled with. And so if no one else benefits from today's conversation, at least I will. So I'm excited to talk to you. We're going to be talking all about eczema today and natural remedies for that. But before we get into that, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are in your career?
Sure. My name is Andrew McHugh. I'm the founder of the Eczema Kids brand and the host of the Eczema Kids podcast. And our focus there is all about natural healing and comfort for kids with eczema. And our family's journey through eczema turned into a mission for healthier and happier childhoods. And it began when I had just three daughters at the time, but two of which, ages two and just my newborn baby, had severe eczema. Like, it just came on all of a sudden. It was so strange, just like literally overnight in my two-year-old. And then my newborn was born with it. Like, they, you know, in the discharge papers, they said she had a neonatal rash. And just as I brought her home, like every day just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and like more and more flaky and more and more red. And it just, in both cases, got very, very extreme. And I took them to the pediatrician, as one does, you know, when your children are ill. And they said, oh my goodness, this is really bad. And I was like, yeah, that's why I'm here. This is really bad. And, you know, they gave me solutions, and I don't even want to say solutions, because they gave me like Band-Aids in the form of topical steroids, like they gave me two prescriptions and saying like, you should wear gloves before putting this on your 2 month old baby, but you must be using this on her. And then also they recommended bleach baths. And that was the extent. And in the same breath, and I am, you know, pediatricians are amazing. Doctors are amazing, right? But in the same breath, this doctor said, well, I have psoriasis and this is just a chronic condition that you're going to have to manage. And it is what it is. And I just thought that wasn't gonna be good enough for us. And, you know, I know it's not good enough for my clients either. And so I was just determined to find a holistic solution. And just mamas are a force when they have a mission. And I delved into natural healing methods. I was in dental at the time. I was a dental assistant. And so it's a deleterious profession, unfortunately. And, you know, I was working at one of our top hospitals here in Denver while I was pregnant with my third, which I think had a lot to do with it, but it doesn't matter. Like that all, you know, was my background. And I just decided to jump into natural healing. And I cracked the code on this really complex autoimmune condition. And so now I feel like it's my mission to help other families do the same.
That's incredible. There is so much to unravel from what you said. So hopefully we can get to all of that, because I can just tell that we're going to get a lot from today's conversation. And something I want to touch on before we dive into eczema is just the fact that your mom intuition told you that not only was something wrong, but there was a better way to do it. And I feel like a lot of moms are starting to get to the point where they're like, I'm not always satisfied with the answers that I've gotten from my doctors. And like you said, it's not because doctors are awful. It's not because we can't trust them. It's just because sometimes there does need to be a different solution and it's not presented to us right away. And I just love that you were able to sit back and say, you know what? I am just going to do whatever I can to help my kids. I'm going to do my own research and see if there's something else than what my doctor recommended, because that's not going to work for my family. That's not something that I want my kids to have to go through. So I really like your tenacity in doing that. And I think that's something that we just need to have more courage to do.
It's tough. I mean, like that was, I'm glad that didn't come around till daughter number three, because I probably wouldn't have had the courage, you know, with number one and even number two. Like I just did whatever the doctors said. Like I've had four cesareans, unfortunately. You know, I just go along because it's extremely difficult to be staring at somebody in a white coat and say, no, thank you. Like it takes a little bit, and especially when you don't have a medical background yourself. But yeah, like I said, mamas know, and you got to do what's right for your kids. And sometimes that is steroids, and that's fine. But if you're ready to be done with that, you know, you can move on from that too.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So hopefully today's conversation for any of the mamas listening is some encouragement and some courage and just some more resources in your pocket to help you make the best decision for your kids. So just right off the bat, I just want to hear a really simple definition of what eczema is, because I recognize the name and I'm sure a lot of other mamas do, but I think there's some nuances in what eczema is and where it comes from that will just help us better understand how to go about treatment and just better understand our conversation today. So can you just give us a lowdown about what eczema is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you were to Google eczema, you know, they would say it's categorized as an inflammatory skin condition, and it's called atopic dermatitis. And what I know to be true, though, is that condition it's not a skin issue. It's way more than skin deep. Like we're talking about, you know, leaky gut, and we're talking about liver stagnation and lymph stagnation and, you know, a fat emulsification issue, and you're not absorbing your nutrients. So there's a lot of things happening underneath the surface, but in a nutshell, yes, it's an inflammatory skin condition.
So is it genetic? Is it a secondary reaction to an underlying illness? Where does it come from?
You know, I think genetics certainly have something to do with it. I think if that's your weak spot, if that's where your body is like leaning towards to break down, then it's more than likely like your kids would be the same. So there's certainly that. I've seen a lot of parents who have had eczema issues and then their kids have the same thing. But, you know, that wasn't our case. And for, I would say most of the people I talk to, they're just like, I don't know where this came from. And that was our case as well. And a lot of times I see people after like this very intense immune assault, you know, either COVID or hand, foot and mouth disease, something like that. And there's something that put just like, you know, overfilled their bucket, so to say. And so like then it starts manifesting as eczema, the inflammation that's present within their systems.
Okay. We talk a lot about kids in these examples. So is it only kids that can develop it, or is this something that adults can develop too?
I mean, any age. I think it's more often that it's babies that it's developed in infancy, but it can happen anytime, like as in the case of my 2-year-old, or, you know, I certainly have a lot of clients that are elementary age, high school, and if you don't take care of it, this can plague you your entire life.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Cause you did mention that your second baby was born with it. So it is something that you can literally come out of the womb and like already have symptoms that something is going on and it's manifesting as eczema, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was doing some research before our conversation and I read on Mayo Clinic that, quote, people with atopic dermatitis are at risk of developing food allergies, hay fever, and asthma. This makes me think that it kind of fits in like the autoimmune family, even though it didn't really say that on Mayo Clinic. Can you talk to us more about that? Is there a connection? I feel like that's just going to really help us understand eczema better.
Yeah. Unfortunately, eczema is an autoimmune condition, and that's why I take it so, so seriously. And I knew that when my babies were young and they were exhibiting these symptoms, and that's what made me just think, oh my goodness, like we need to control all delete on what we're doing right now and rebuild, because this isn't going to work. Like I can't have, this isn't just a rash. This is a signifier that your kids are really unwell, you know, beneath the surface. And I don't want to scare anyone, but it's just true that like autoimmune diseases are when your immune system is overactive and it's attacking everything that's coming in its path, be it a pathogen or just like a piece of celery, you know. And it's just, that's what creates that systemic inflammation. And it's really, they have inhibited detox pathways, unfortunately. Like, and so instead of those toxins, the everyday toxins that our bodies need to dispose of, instead of them going through the normal channels, like sweat and urine and feces, like it's coming out through the skin. And I don't like it when doctors suggest like, oh, they'll grow out of it. Like, it's just not a big deal, because even they acknowledge like, this is part of the atopic triad is what they call it. So a lot of times when kids just grow out of eczema, it morphs into allergies or hay fever or, you know, what have you. Like if you don't address it, that inflammation turns into something else. Or some people just are plagued with eczema if they don't address it. But yeah, it doesn't just disappear and everything's fine if you're continuing to eat those fire Cheetos, you know?
So like you said, it might go away, like you can't see it anymore, but now it's manifesting as something else. It's turned into something else. So it can get kind of tricky sometimes when you're like, oh yeah, my kid outgrew it. But what's your kid struggling with right now, right?
Now having asthma. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to dive into some hidden culprits. Like what is causing eczema? What is exacerbating it? Can we just like break it down into maybe 3 or 4 of the common hidden culprits of eczema?
Yeah. I would say for the most part, you know, our kids are just living in this kind of inflammatory world. Like the assaults are ever present. They're all over the place. And there's a lot we can do as long as we're mindful of it to turn that around. So, you know, there's just chemicals. There's chemicals in the food. There's chemicals in our cleaning solutions. There's chemicals off glass gassing from the furniture we buy and like the drywall that we use in our renovation, all those things. There's processed and indigestible food as like mainstays as part of our kids' diets. And then I think a lack of nature, like a lack of outdoor time and just you know, real authentic vitamin D. I think those three things play a really big role in why we're seeing these alarming trends in how often that eczema is coming up in our little ones.
Okay. So to summarize, you said chemicals and food and then lack of outdoor exposure. Is that right?
That's what I believe.
Okay. So let's dive into each one of those a little bit more. Talking about chemicals, are we talking about like parabens, phthalates, formaldehyde releasers, like all of those things that are supposed to say XYZ free on our labels? Like, is that what we're talking about when we talk about chemicals?
Yeah, absolutely. In the plastics, in the, like I said, all everything that new that you buy, that new car smell, that's phthalates, like the Glade plugins. Smell equals phthalates if it's not essential oils.
Okay. So for anyone listening, if that still sounds like what, I have no idea what that means. We're basically talking about endocrine disruptors and opting to switch to non-toxic products, whether it's your cookware, your cleaning supplies, tossing out anything that has a lingering smell, unless it's like a really clean third-party certified company, right? And I actually did an entire episode about non-toxic products in like all different areas of our life. So if you're listening and you're like, I don't even know where to start, I don't know what that means, I will link that episode in the show notes so you can like learn more about that. But for today's conversation, what we're talking about is endocrine disruptors. And I'm sure as you tell your clients, Andra, we can't be 100% toxic free. Like, it's not possible to just isolate yourself from every endocrine disruptor because that's just the world we live in, right? So I don't think there's a point in like being afraid in the sense of, oh my gosh, I can't get rid of all of it, so I'm just doomed to develop eczema, or my kids are doomed to develop it. So what would you tell moms who are sitting there like panicking about all these chemicals and these endocrine disruptors that they're supposed to be avoiding, but it's kind of inevitable? What would you say to them?
Yeah, it's a fine line. Like, I spent, you know, during this time when I was just coming up, I was trying to dig ourselves out of this hole and researching all night long because I wasn't sleeping anyway because the kids were up all night, you know, with itching and scratching and all the things. Like, it's hard. Like, I definitely would put myself into these like anxiety attacks, right? Because it's like, oh my gosh, like there's so many things. How could I possibly turn it all around? Everything is killing us, and what are we going to do? And it's really just step by step, and do, like you said, do what you can. You can't do everything. Like, there's EMF everywhere, but do what you can in your home. And you are the ambassador of everything that comes into your home. And, you know, especially when you have young kids and nobody else is grocery shopping and nobody else is buying things, like, it's on you. And once you know better, you do better. So once you know, oh, there's a better choice here, and it's just cleaners. Okay, that's easy to grab something not blue versus blue, you know? So it's just one mindful little swap at a time.
Exactly. Exactly. So now let's talk about food, because this is something we can't avoid either. We all need food to survive, but there's a very broad spectrum of what's considered healthy, some sneaky little marketing that makes us think it's healthy. Let's really get into food, because I actually had a lot of mamas on Instagram when I asked them about questions for this episode. A lot of them came back and said, please tell me if food is related. Please tell me what foods are like in my house that I don't know are making this worse. So talk to me about food.
Yeah. I would say like the through line for all of the diets, like I have three seasonal diets within my program. That's just like a plug and play, easy peasy. It's the through line though for all of it is digestible food. And in large, I think we aren't feeding our kids a lot of digestible food. And digestible food is whole, real seasonal food that's been cooked most often. Because even like raw kale, right? Great, healthy. Can't digest that, you know? So it's in the way that you prepare it, and it's the lack of processing by a third party. Like that's what makes it digestible. And I would say that's like the number one thing to be cognizant of. And, you know, we go into food combining, like, you know, you need different digestive enzymes for different types of food, like red meat versus black beans, right? Like, you just need a completely different set of digestive enzymes. And when you eat those two things in the same meal, they're not compatible. And what ends up happening is one of those things doesn't get fully digested, and it just hangs out and builds up toxins and, you know, all the things that we don't want. So it's like I said, it's about digestion. Just properly prepare things, soak, sprout if you can. That's like a little bit extra. Eat seasonally, because then you're getting the appropriate microbes in your gut from the, you know, from the right season. And that's what your body is tuned in for, dialed in for, because our environment is impacting us more than we think, you know, even though we're living in houses and we live quite comfortable lives, it's still a very real thing. And just keeping in mind our circadian rhythms and all of that. Don't buy, and I know your audience, I know the people that are listening are not buying like the Uncrustables and the Goldfish and like wondering why are we dealing with this issue. But even those granola bars, or like you said, all those just natural, those marketing terms that don't mean anything, that make us think like, oh, I'm doing my kid a service. And it's like, no, not really. They like their body literally isn't recognizing this as food. So omitting that and just focusing on real whole food that your body can digest.
So what I'm hearing you say, yes, focus on preparing your food at home and learning how to prepare each food in a way that maximizes nutrient absorption, right? So if you have kale and people in your family eat kale and you want to use it in a recipe, opt to steam it or boil it in a stew or cook it or whatever versus just chopping up in a raw salad. That doesn't mean kale is bad if it's raw. It just means it's less bioavailable for your body to digest, right? So just focusing on preparing foods at home, understanding how to prepare foods. And then I heard you mention like, you know, having red meat and black beans together. I am a nutritionist and I know all those rules pretty good. But you know, the average mama doesn't. And so for me, what I try and focus on, because just getting dinner on the table sometimes feels like a battle for me. What I try and focus on is habit stacking that we can do that will kind of make up for those gaps where maybe the food pairing isn't super great, but we can chew our food completely, right? Because the more we chew our food, the more it produces stomach acid, and the stomach acid is what helps us break it all down. So making sure you're not rushing while you're eating, making sure you're chewing your food properly instead of like chewing it two or three times and then swallowing giant bites. Something else that I love to do, especially like when we're out to eat at a restaurant, is I will have at least one or two glasses of lemon water. Just the acid from lemon is going to help stimulate more stomach acid production to help with whatever food I'm about to eat. So you could do lemon, you could do like diluted apple cider vinegar in some water. I don't love that. If that's for you, that's great. That's not my jam. But yeah, just trying to find ways to like fill in those gaps without burdening yourself of, oh my gosh, I don't know all of the nutritional science, therefore I'm doomed to fail, right?
Yeah. And none of this is about macros or micros. Like that's not the thing. And like you said, how you eat is just as important, if not more important than what you eat. And sitting down is a big one, right? Like I say to my kids all the time, like sit down. It's just, you know, and I try and like, honestly, I don't eat with my family most of the time because like I can't sit down during the meal, right? And I know how hard it is to digest. Like if your body is standing up, it's like focusing on something else. And so anyway, all those are really good tips because our little ones don't have really the HCL required to assimilate those fats and break down those proteins. So any and all of that, it'd be very helpful.
Okay. Love that. That was really good. Really good conversation about food. Let's talk about the last thing that you mentioned, and that is getting time outside. Is there like a certain time limit that we need to be outside? Does it differ if it's like a sunny day versus an overcast day, summer versus winter? Like how does the outside affect eczema?
I believe that our kids are by and large just under illuminated. Like you can be under illuminated, just as you can be malnourished, just as you can be dehydrated. And it's a big thing, you know, and it's easy to do. If you go from the house to the garage, to the car, to school, to dance, to the car, to home, you know, like they might get that 20-minute recess you know, and that might be the extent of their outdoor time, or if it's snowing or just a slightly unpleasant, you know, and maybe that's taken out. And as an adult, it's easy to spend all day indoors. And I just think it should be a focus, and it's counterintuitive for a lot of my clients, because their child's skin is in such a raw, delicate place. But I think doing what you can, just being cognizant of any outdoor time, putting them outdoors, especially in the morning, does a lot of good for your circadian rhythm, and will help them sleep at night. And then, you know, the sun is the strongest in the middle of the day. So that's when the potential for burning and things like that would be most often. And of course, you don't want to overdo it, and you don't want them to burn. That would be catastrophic. But just you know, normal amounts in the morning without chemical sunscreens, it'll do your kid a lot of good holistically.
I totally agree. And I'm curious if you've noticed this with eczema, because I know each skin condition is a little bit different. I have psoriasis and rosacea. And all growing up, summer was my favorite, because that's when all of my skin stuff went away, because I was outside all the time. And I always thought it was just like the vitamin D from the sun and just everything the sun was doing. Is that also true with eczema? Does the vitamin D from the sun actually help with eczema in like controlled doses where you're not going to burn yourself?
Yes. Yes. It's a vital nutrient. You have to have it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes me really excited, because I was hoping that was the case for my eczema moms, because that's what has helped me most of my life. When it's winter and it's dry outside and the sun isn't as bright, that's when my skin kind of decides I don't like myself right now. And it's always really hard for me. So I think that's another benefit of being outside. It's not just the fresh air and the circadian rhythm and your hormones, but the actual nutrients that our body produces from the sun that will help our skin.
Yes.
Prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research. On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes. About some of the things that are causing and exacerbating eczema. Now I want to get into the natural remedies that you teach your clients. I always encourage a food and lifestyle first approach to healing, and we've kind of already talked about that a little bit, but I'm curious if there are any specific foods or nutrients that will help with eczema.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like we mentioned, those just whole, real, seasonal, bioavailable foods. And like some people, you know, go into kind of like an eczema healing diet, or, you know, autoimmune reversing diet is like, it feels so limiting. And it's like, it's not. There's a huge bounty. I mean, we're talking about like all ideally, you know, grass-fed or pasture-raised or wild meats, right? And fish and seafood and gluten-free grains like rice. Great. As long as it's properly prepared. Beans, amazing. Like, and lentils, all that, as long as it's properly prepared, fantastic. All the fruits, all the vegetables, you know, there really is quite a lot. And you can even make your own, you know, I make my own treats. Like my kids require sugar every day. And like we make our own stuff, or we just get like really high quality chocolate now. But yeah, I would say most foods that God made, great.
Yeah, that's great. And about the anti-inflammatory autoimmune diet, I've had to do that multiple different times in my life just to try and help reset a little bit. So my body is just better able to handle whatever I do eat. And how I always approached it is saying, okay, sure, I'm not eating these foods right now, but I would rather not eat these foods than have that medicine or, than have to deal with this three times as long. I perceive it as an investment in my health, right? It's a short-term sacrifice that might be difficult and it might be unpopular with your friends or the other moms in your neighborhood or your mom group. And it might be difficult for your kids to be like, no, sorry, I can't have that treat that you brought, or I'm not eating that cupcake or whatever it is for your family. But it's the idea that you're saying no to things that you know aren't going to help your body. Like, we wouldn't intentionally wear shoes that are too small for our feet. And even though we're not all best at this, we try not to wear jeans that are too small for us, right? That's a different conversation. But the idea that, like, we wouldn't do that to the outside of our body, like, we wouldn't wear shoes that are too small for us. But why is it so much different to just say, I'm gonna not eat a couple of these foods because I know that's what's gonna make my body feel best? So to any of the mamas listening that are like, I don't want to cut this out, or I'm scared that my kid's going to hate me, or that I'm going to be the weird crunchy mom or whatever, just know that this is what's going to make you and your kids feel your best. And if you don't want to go the medicine steroid topical route, that's what's best for your kids and your family.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you can even play on, like, my 2-year-old at the time, I was like, hey, you can have these carob chips instead of these chocolate chips for her dessert. I was like, because the chocolate chips will make your wrist, like, it was like really, really bad, like on the underside of her wrists, you know, it made like hand washing and all that really painful. It's like, because it's going to irritate your skin, this, for now. So we're going to just substitute it with this. And she's like, okay, like, even as young as 2, you can play on their desire to feel better. Like, nobody wants to feel ill. And taking care of being sick yourself or taking care of a sick child, I mean, it's a time suck. It's an energy drain. Like, it's hard. The things that we're able to do now, not inhibited by this, it's so much more joy. It's so much lighter. Just like you said, it really is worth it. Yes, some people aren't going to understand. Yes, you're going to catch some flack for it, but it's so worth it.
Absolutely. Going off of food, are there any supplements that you recommend that have been helpful to alleviating or relieving eczema?
Yeah, definitely. I advise my clients do this, like glutathione, which is it's your body's main detox molecule. It's a liver enzyme. And like I said, there's just a lot not happening with our little eczema friends, like detoxification systems. And so I find when you help them create glutathione, it really helps get those systems moving and grooving. And that's like helping you clear the condition much faster. So we do this little cocktail of like NAC, glutamine, and acetyl carnitine. And like, you can do all those in powder and put it in whatever, and it's tasteless. And like, even my 2-year-old does this now, and I find that to be really helpful. But yeah, that's step 4 in my program is supplements, because I believe you should do everything you can in the kitchen first. Just, you know, you're feeding them all the time, and that's what's fueling the tissues and the cell regeneration. And that's why I like working. So that's why I like working with kids, is because their cells regenerate so quickly and they do bounce back quickly. If you're on the straight and narrow, essentially for a little while. And then we simultaneously address the symptoms that are present on the skin, you know, and I sell herbal oils and an anti-itch spray and a really nutritive tallow cream to help address that. And because, like I said, you have to deal with what's staring back at you in the face, and like the reason that you're not sleeping and your kid's not sleeping right now, because they're just so itchy and uncomfortable. And then we look into everything that you can do inside your house. And then I would go into supplements, you know, because for kids, right, like it's getting those in is a little bit of a challenge, and it's a little bit of a burden. And it's also sometimes a financial stretch. So I say do what you can in those other areas first, and then get into supplements. And then once you're like ready and able to take that into your routine.
Absolutely. Supplements are there to fill in the gaps, right? Not be like the main point of action for whatever we're trying to do. So you mentioned glutathione. And like you said, that's our body's master antioxidant. So that's what helps our liver do its thing, help detox daily, help our bowel movements, help secrete bile so that we can break down all of our food. Like glutathione is really, really important. And I wanted to double check to make sure I was right. But for any of the mamas listening, there are certain foods that are higher in glutathione that you can just naturally incorporate into your family's meals, and just making sure that that's a part of your daily routine. So some of the foods on here are the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts. And then you've got your, the garlic and onions, like the seasonings that go in all of your food.
Oh, isn't it like alloids or something? It's something like that, but that's not it.
It's something weird that like only nerdy people like us know.
Yes. What's that lady that healed her? She had like MS, the Walls protocol.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
Have you heard of that? Oh gosh, her whole book is about like eating like literally 50 pounds of vegetables a day to reverse, you know, whatever you need to reverse. It's amazing. And she did. She's like walking proof. And she wasn't walking before. She was in a wheelchair. Dr. Walls, pretty sure. She was incredible. I'll look it up after this and email you. But anyway, yes. But like for when we're talking about our kids, it's hard to get a lot of that in.
Yeah. So so talking about like cruciferous vegetables. My toddler, he's 2.5. He doesn't like Brussels sprouts. No shock there. But what I do is I find sneaky ways to get vegetables into his meals. So like when I make spaghetti sauce, I will literally choose like 5 different vegetables and run them through the food processor. I cannot talk today. So that they are minced so finely that they just kind of like stick onto the ground meat that's in the spaghetti sauce. And then you put the tomato sauce over it and you literally can't even tell. And so whenever I make spaghetti sauce, I'm throwing in mushrooms and carrots and broccoli and like all these vegetables. And my toddler will eat the spaghetti sauce, but he doesn't know that there's all these vegetables in there. So it's finding creative ways to do that. Some of the other foods high in glutathione are, eggs, nuts, and legumes. So beans, lentils, things like that. So like you said, whole foods, foods that take minimal preparation, but if you do it right, it's going to do a lot for your body. Supporting that detoxification pathway in our body, is going to be a big one. And I have in my notes here, a quote from a meta-analysis that says, about vitamin D, it says that the pathogenesis of eczema involves dysregulation of both the immune system and the skin barrier function. And vitamin D is known to have a regulatory influence on both of these. In layman's terms, that basically means that your immune system and your skin, microbiome is struggling and vitamin D helps with both of those. So trying to maximize your time in the sun in a safe and controlled way, you know, getting your fatty fish and your dairy products. And then if you still see that there are gaps, whether it's in the diet or you still can't get enough time outside, then maybe consider a high quality vitamin D supplement. Ideally, it would be D3 and K2 together. That would help get that vitamin D in your kid's system so that it can try and help with your gut and your skin.
Yeah, absolutely. I do recommend before, if you can, if your little one is over, you know, 12 months old, I do recommend testing for vitamin D before supplementing it, because that's like one that you can OD on, you know, really easily. Like they're in those little drops and they're quite powerful. And so I do recommend that they, you know, if you heard of, there's this brand of like blood tests that you can, it's like the Amazon for blood tests. So you can literally just like pop into a Safeway, they take the blood and process it for whatever, you know, it's a good way to get titers done and things like that if you're in the medical field. And you can test for vitamin D that way. It's like really easy, just like $30 out of pocket, quick and done. I don't know, but it's just something to keep in mind.
Absolutely. Thank you for clarifying that you should always test before you start handing out drops and supplements and things like that to your kids. Absolutely. How about pre and postbiotics? How do you feel about those?
Well, necessary, right? Like you need to, there's a dysbiosis happening, right? So the bad bugs are overrunning the good bugs essentially in their little guts if they're exhibiting eczema symptoms. So yes, you're going to have to weed and seed and feed, and the prebiotics is like the seed, right? Like that's what the probiotics feed on. But I don't think that you have to go out of your way to get prebiotics. Like that's just naturally present in vegetables and fruits. So that's essentially what we do. We just highly focus on those types of foods. I also do like to put in like a decoction. It's just a tea made of slippery elm bark and marshmallow root and licorice root. Like it's just like the whole herbs, and then you pour the hot water over it just as you would tea, let it steep for a second. And I put that when I can, not all the time, like in smoothies, because it's just like a tasteless way to incorporate those herbs. And those are a really good prebiotic mixture that really helps like heal and seal that gut lining. So yes, attention needs to be paid there. And then I do recommend probiotics, not a ton of fermented foods. If this is your struggle and you're in the thick of it, fermented foods are really high in histamine, right? And their bodies are already systemically inflamed. And so you want to do your best to follow a low histamine diet. And so I do want to say that there's been some like whole foods that we've mentioned throughout this episode that maybe won't suit your kids struggling with eczema right now. Eggs being one, nuts being one, anything made from vinegar, definitely, because it's yeast based, you know, those type of foods, bone broth, even, it develops histamine really, really quickly. So with those extra guidelines in mind, yes, low histamine, high. So okay, anyway, the probiotics that we would put in, like we just make like a really easy coconut yogurt, we get probiotics that way. And also if you're in the supplement protocol, rotate some really easy to take probiotics, I find to be most helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And my favorite pre and postbiotic combo is from Just Ingredients, just a little powder that you can make into a 12-ounce drink. You can tell your kids it's yummy, special juice, whatever. And if you want a really clean way to get in those pre and postbiotics, if they're struggling, if they're picky eaters, if you feel like what you're doing isn't working or you're worried about a histamine reaction, that's a really high quality supplement that I feel comfortable giving my kids because it's made from real food ingredients. It's in safe doses and it has the pre, post, and probiotics all together. So that's been something really great that I'll occasionally give my son just if I feel like he's having tummy problems or he's just not feeling super great. Mm-hmm. On to alternative therapies and kind of like closing out with the last couple questions. You mentioned at the very beginning that your second child was essentially born with eczema. And so in that instance, that makes me wonder if there's something that we can pay more attention to during pregnancy if we notice that it's more susceptible in our family. So if we already have a child that has had eczema or we have struggled with eczema or whatever it is there something that we can do during pregnancy to help minimize the risk of, you know, these skin conditions that our kids could be born with?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a touchy subject because moms, we beat ourselves up, right? Like there's always things that you could do better. There's always things that like you're thankful you did do. And if I were to do it again, I would have taken a pause from the dental industry. Candidly, that's a lot of radiation. That's a lot of chemicals. Like it's too much, I believe, when you have a fetus in your belly to be exposed to. And I think that's the main reason that she came out the way she did. I would do everything that you can to have a vaginal birth because, you know, that's how it was designed. And ideally, like they go through the birth canal and because they need to take in all those probiotics from mom, you know, as they're coming out the chute, essentially. Like, that's how it's supposed to happen. For my kids, it didn't, and that's okay, and we're okay. And so wherever you are, it's fine. It's just like, if I were to do again, these are candidly the things that I would do differently. But be extremely mindful of your chemical exposure prenatally. Like, when you're pregnant, it's vitally important. I use green hair dye. It's like green HARE, you know, like just stuff like that. It's a big deal. And yeah, it's annoying. It's like a little powder and it's made of like green tea and whatever. But I know once it soaks into my brain and like, you know, reaches like the fetus at the time or when I was nursing, it wasn't like formaldehyde and like all those other pretty serious chemicals that are in normal hair dyes. So it's just, I mean, fill up your car as least often as possible. Have your husband do it, you know, don't be downwind of the gas, like all those things. Just keep in mind that you're growing a human inside your body and do what you can.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that we're like, oh, I can't do that. I shouldn't do that. I need to stay away from that. It's kind of overwhelming sometimes. We know it's a good thing, but it still feels really overwhelming. So something I always try and encourage my mamas to do is in a proactive way, you can just try your best to eat whole foods as much as possible. I know there's pregnancy cravings and sometimes you're just sick for your entire pregnancy. And so it's just survival mode, not trying to guilt trip anyone there or say that you did poorly, but just doing your best where you can to eat whole foods and make sure that your gut is in as good of a place as it can be. So that when you're pregnant, you're getting maximum nutrient absorption. And then when you're breastfeeding, your gut directly affects baby's gut because breast milk is made from the bloodstream and your bloodstream collects all the nutrients that you do and don't have in your body from what you digested. So just trying to take care of yourself as best as possible and recognize that it's not selfish to tell your kids, I will play with you after I eat my food, or mommy needs a second. This is important to me, a good mom. I have to do this. And just showing your family that you can't serve and show up the way that you want to if you aren't prioritizing your health. And especially when you're pregnant and breastfeeding, that matters more than ever. So if that means, nope, everyone needs to leave for 15 minutes so I can eat my food, whatever, or excusing yourself from the dinner table so you can go meditate and just like breathe after you ate your food so you can be in a restful state to encourage better digestion, or going on a quick 10-minute walk around the neighborhood after you eat dinner, whatever it is, just really taking the time to treat yourself the way that you are so desperately trying to show up for your kid. I feel like we're so good at being like, I need to be perfect for my kids, but we forget that like we're a part of that equation. And so showing up for yourself the way that you want to show up for your kids, I think is going to make a really big difference.
That would make all the difference. So hard to do. And if you can, please. Yeah. Like you said, like make it a real priority. I would have done that differently if I could.
Absolutely. Okay. Last in the therapies, are there any alternative therapies? I wanted to ask you about like red light therapy. Are things like that going to be helpful for eczema?
Yeah. I mean, that would be fantastic. We do not have a red light therapy machine. That would be great though, like, you know, and it could be part of your bath time routine. Like that would be excellent. It helps with cell regeneration. Like do it if you have that. Otherwise though, I mean, I feel like everything that I suggest is quote unquote an alternative therapy, right? It's like the diet and the skincare, like, you know, I see people like just abandon their values. Like even if they're eating really clean, they don't really look at what's inside their skincare and like know that your skin is the largest organ in your body. And like, that's, you're absorbing everything that you put on it. And that's why these topical remedies can be so effective. And obviously that's how steroids work, or, you know, like it's supposed to go into your bloodstream, but by putting like herbal oils and things that you want to be circulated throughout your body, that makes a really big difference. So yeah, that would be a huge alternative therapy. And then anything that you can do around your home, anything that you can do to just incorporate like some mindfulness, some breathing, if it's just outdoor time, fantastic. Like we have this little Zenimal tool. It's so cute. It's like this little turtle and it has just like little meditations and it's screen free and EMF free. And I have one of those in my kids' room. little things like that I would consider to be alternative therapies and helpful.
Perfect. And one more thing I wanted to ask you before we get into the reader's questions, or the listener's questions, can you completely cure eczema, or does it just go into remission and there's a chance for it to come back?
I mean, I don't know if I use the word cure for anything if it's not acute, right? Like ideally, if you break your arm, then it gets better and hopefully you don't have any side effects from that. But I just think if you have eczema or any autoimmune condition, I believe you can put it into remissions where it doesn't have to determine like what you do day to day. And as long as you live in moderation, then you're all right. It's not like this chronic illness that you have to contend with your whole life. It's just, I guess it's just like light guide rails is where I would want my clients to be. And that's where we are now, where we can go to the birthday parties and we can go out to eat and it's fine. But if you do that 2-3 times in a row, yeah, my 4-year-old, you know, then we'll have a little bit of rougher skin and then we have to deal with that. So it's, and still nothing compared to where we were before. But the point is, I just think, yes, remission is where you want to be. Cure is just, it's just not a word I use really for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I've, I really struggled with psoriasis most of my childhood, especially like in middle school when I was going through puberty, and then, you know, high school was really stressful. And then I moved to New Zealand and it completely went away the entire time I was there because I was outside all the time and just the food and the culture was so different. And then I noticed like during pregnancy and then at the beginning of postpartum, my psoriasis kind of comes back again because my hormones are kind of all over the place and my body is just burning through nutrients and minerals so quickly. So I can definitely attest to the fact that you can go in remission. It's not something that you have to live with indefinitely, and it should not affect your day-to-day life. But just recognizing what your triggers are, and then being prepared ahead of time. If it's not something you can control, like going on vacation, you're probably not going to be able to cook all of your meals while you're on vacation. So just being mindful of the foods that you do choose to eat while you are going out, or, you know, making sure that you take breaks every 2 hours if you're on a road trip for 30 minutes so you guys can be out in the sun and just stretching and getting fresh air. Whatever it is, be mindful of what your triggers are, and you can go into remission and you can enjoy everything that everyone else is enjoying without worrying about your skin. So I have two questions I want to touch on from our listeners before we close. These were really specific, and so I'm sorry if it puts you on the spot, but I wanted to see if you had any answers for them. One from our listener is, how quickly will eczema go away for a baby who has cow's milk protein allergy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know if there's like a, you know, there's no textbook amount of time, but I would say that, you know, IgE, which is like an immune response that's triggered by food, that half-life is about 23 days. So if you were to avoid whatever trigger we were talking about for a month, you could be in a completely different spot than you are now in terms of eczema.
Perfect. Okay, good to know. So is it really easy to identify what those triggers are? Because this mom is a nursing mom. So she recognized a couple months into breastfeeding that there was blood in the stool, something wasn't right. And so she's trying to be mindful of what she's eating. But how can you identify what those triggers are?
Yeah, and especially with little babes, like it's so hard. This is why, I mean, when I was nursing my little one, you know, I obviously just had to follow this eczema healing diet to a T. And I do recommend you strictly follow it. You take out these inflammatory foods, and like the top inflammatory foods are like dairy and sugar and gluten. And textbook allergens for our little eczema ones would be like nuts and eggs as well. Those, you know, you really do need to take those out, the processed foods, the artificial dyes for you know, ideally 3 months. And if you can just do it and be really good about it every single meal. I mean, just like when you're pregnant, like there's never a second in those 9 months that you're not pregnant. Or if you're like, I've heard it said, like if you're sitting on two pins and you take out one, like you're still not going to feel that much better. Right? Like you really have to do just all in, but for the short period of time. And if you are, then you can totally eradicate that from your system and from your little one's system if you're nursing, and then you'll start to bring about healing. And then you can start to test foods and bring them all back in. Cause I'm definitely not about, you know, avoid almonds for the rest of your life. Like I don't want anyone to live like that. It's just for this short time being, when you're really focusing on healing, eliminate those trigger foods, those inflammatory foods.
Perfect. And the other reader question I wanted to ask you was, are there any remedies for eczema scars? This particular follower on Instagram is asking on behalf of her daughter. She said her daughter is, I think it was like 30 years old or like her early 30s, and she has really bad scarring from eczema when she was a kid. Is there anything that we can do for eczema scarring?
Man, that's a long time then. Because I would say, you know, sun and time heals everything. Like, so my 2-year-old's legs, like that next summer, they had a lot of white patches. And then that just magically went away. But I also, so sun, time, just, and then also like brightening skincare ingredients, like, and moisturizing skincare ingredients, but like aloe, vitamin E, all my stuff has that. It's just important stuff.
Okay, perfect. Before we close, is there anything that you want to say to our listeners?
Yeah, my message is one of hope and empowerment. Like I just want moms to know that you do have not only the power, you have the know-how to turn this around for your kid. You, no matter what you do professionally, you can and should serve as your child's main health advocate. Like that is what your job is once you become a mom. And so I really do like what this does on the other side. You know, if you are facing a condition like eczema or eczema in and of itself, there's certainly worse things. And I just know my family and all of my clients' families, they are better for it, having gone through it. Every single person in their family is healthier and happier because of taking out the things that are making us tired and sick, really, and noticing the difference, and then embracing this notion of like, we're a healing family. Like, I think that's a really important part of it. And, you know, so it's not like, oh, well, you know, my 4-year-old's name is Barbara. Barbara can't have this. It's just like, no, I just don't buy it and serve it for everyone because Barbara can't have it, for example, but now Barbara can have everything. It's just, you know, but embracing that mentality. So no one feels ostracized, but also, yeah. This is your number one job. You can do it. You can do it with a job. I know you have a lot of number one jobs. You have other kids and you have a house and a spouse and a job, and you can still do it even with all those things.
I love those words of encouragement. Definitely remembering that you will get through it and there's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just a matter of really buckling down and saying, this is what I'm going to do for my kids. Or myself, for that matter, if you're struggling with eczema, this is what I'm gonna do for us to feel better and just be confident in that. Because then it won't matter what other people think, and it won't matter if one kid is upset because all of a sudden we're not eating this anymore, or at least for a little bit. You're just like, no, this is how our family's gonna feel good right now. So I really, really love that. And we talked about a lot of really good things today, but I'm curious, what is a non-negotiable to you to living a well-nourished life?
I would say meal planning. Like, that sounds so lame, but it's the only way I can do it. Like, if I meal plan, then that means I only have to go to the grocery store once a week, and that saves a ton of time. But I have 4 kids and we homeschool, and you know, the frequency in that you have to feed them is often, and even when you send them to school, you have to pack them with like 10 snacks. And if you're feeling anxiety about what you're going to put in their lunch because you don't know, like, I just would rather live without that stress. And or just, you know, like, what am I going to feed for dinner? And they're all screaming. I don't like that feeling. So for me, a meal plan like eradicates all of that.
That is the best answer I've had so far. Some people are like, oh, like being grateful and sunshine and like all these things. And you're like, no, meal planning. That's awesome. Speaking of which, I need to go finish my meal plan because we are almost out of food. So I'm going to go do that. That's a great answer. Andra, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. We learned so much from you, and I'm so glad that there is a holistic approach to healing our skin from the inside out, and that if we don't want to go the topical steroid route, that there are other options out there. So thank you for sharing that with us. Where can we connect with you? How can we continue to learn from you? How can we be a part of your world?
Sure. I host the Eczema Kits podcast, so you can find that on iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts. My website is eczemakids.com, and there you can find the Clear Skin Kids course, and that's just available to anyone who's just really ready to jump in. I just always feel like if you found me and you need this, then I don't want it to be like a cyclical thing where you have to wait 6 months to jump in. Just you can get in right now today. And then I also have a skin comfort trio at the same site, eczemakids.com. And that's with herbal oil and an anti-itch spray and a towel cream just to get you through the night and help repair that skin barrier.
Perfect. Well, I will be sure to link all of that in the show notes so we can connect with you that way. Thank you so much for joining us today. And mamas, we will see you in the next episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.